Are you able to talk with each other behind the scenes and kind of start laying the groundwork before the actual meetings begin? Does it work that way?
Well, yes, there have been some conversations. Most of the focus right now is between the co-chairs of the committee in doing some of the nuts and bolts. For example, trying to staff up the committee under the legislation. There were some funds provided for a very small staff, but they have to agree on the staff and essentially go through the setup so that there's a foundation that the committee can work off of.
Have to agree on the staff. There are a lot of things you're going to have to agree on throughout this entire process, and Congress not really known for agreeing on a lot of stuff these days. What is your perspective that you'll be bringing to this, and what kind of high hopes do you have to make sure that you're being able to accomplish it?
Well, first of all, I hope that members of this committee and members of Congress generally will have gotten the message from the American people that they expect us to work together in order to get things done for the good of the country. No more threatening to drive the American economy over a cliff if people don't get things exactly their way in the budget. That's number one. Look, I think that the approach that this group should take is the same approach that many of the bipartisan groups that have looked at these issues have taken in the past. And by that, I don't mean adopting every particular recommendation made by Simpson, Bowles, or anything like that. But what those groups did, including Rivlin Domenici, was to lay out a general framework calling for a balanced approach to reducing the deficit, meaning that in addition to cuts, and cuts were already made in this first round, in addition to cuts, you'd also cut things like subsidies to the oil companies and get rid of some of these special interest tax breaks, and eventually ask the folks at the very top of the income scale to go back to paying the same rates that they were paying during the Clinton administration when the economy was booming. And let me just say this as well. The fastest way to get the deficit down in the short term is to get the economy up. And that's why a focus of this committee's work, I hope, will be on jobs as well.
You represent some of the largest number, perhaps, in our region of federal employees and contractors. It's a huge part of your constituency. What sort of reassurances can you give them? Because a lot of feds are pretty confident that their budgets within their agencies are going to be tightened, if not slashed.
Well, there are a couple issues related to federal employees. One goes to the question of federal employee compensation. There's been a whole lot of misinformation out there on this subject put out by various groups suggesting that federal employees are somehow overpaid compared to their peers in the private sector. Just not true. If you look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics and you do apples-to-apples comparisons on compensation, it clearly indicates that, in fact, in many areas, federal employees are underpaid compared to their counterparts. So what we've said with respect to the overall federal employee compensation question is federal employees have demonstrated that they're willing to be part of a solution, but don't make them the scapegoats. Don't try and balance the budget or make all these cuts on the backs of federal employees. That's simply unfair. With respect to agency budgets, as I said, the first round of cuts will already have an impact on agency budgets. $900 billion over 10 years, and some belt tightening needed to be done over the longer period of time, although it's a mistake to do anything too quickly because of the economy and impacts on important programs. But if the trigger were to go off, in other words, if this committee, this 12-person committee, was unable to reach an agreement, then you're talking about very significant across-the-board cuts to federal agencies, from defense to non-defense, and that would really be bad news for the American people. Lots of important investments and services provided that would take a hit. And that's one of many reasons why it's important that this committee find an agreement, a way to reduce the deficit in a smart way.
We are talking with Maryland Democratic Congressman Chris Van Hollen, a member of the Super Committee looking for ways to cut federal spending. I wondered also, from your perspective, what are some of your specific goals that you are going to go into these meetings with? Or, on the flip side, is that self-defeating? Do you need to be as open as possible, to be as flexible as possible so you can come to an agreement?
Well, yeah, listen, I'm going to be listening to the other members of the committee. We're going to be coming together, the 12 of us, receiving input from our constituents, from the American people, from our fellow members of Congress. So I think that, you know, people shouldn't come in with any specific demands. However, I do think that the fiscal commissions that we've seen recently, both Simpson-Bowles and Rivlin-Domenici, have provided a framework to the approach that a bipartisan group should take. And that framework involved, as I indicated, both cuts, budget cuts, but also elimination of a lot of special interest tax breaks and dealing with the revenue side of the equation. Exactly what that mix should be is something that should be discussed. But I think those bipartisan committees give us the model and framework in that sense. For our work as well.
Give us also your perspective, if you don't mind, about the makeup of the committee itself. You've worked with all of these people for quite some time. You feel like this is a group that can work together and sit at the same table and hammer something out within this rather tight time frame?
Well, I think so, but I can't make any predictions right now. I mean, we all know just exactly how tough it is to cut this particular Gordian knot. This is something that has eluded the Congress in the past. I hope it will be different this time. I think there are reasons to think it could be different this time, namely the fact that the American people are hungry for some kind of bipartisan agreement to move the country forward. Second, because of what we've seen in the markets and the economy, I think if we're not able to reach an agreement, that would, of course, not send a very good signal to the markets and the economy. And finally, what we were talking about, which is this sort of Damocles, which will come down if we're unable to reach an agreement that will sort of indiscriminately cut important investments in both defense and non-defense.
I have to make a personal observation here. You've been on the federal drive with us several times, Congressman, and this is one of the very few, if not only time I've ever heard you be so cautious about what you say. So cautiously optimistic, I think, might be a way to describe how you're feeling about where the committee goes from here. You really seem to be very, cautious, I guess is the word I'd go with.
Well, you're right, because I think it's important that people not overpromise. I hope we can exceed expectations for this committee, because people who have watched the congressional process for a long time recognize just how difficult these issues are. But I believe if we come together in the right spirit, and if we agree to adopt the kind of framework that every bipartisan group that's looked at this challenge in the past has taken, then we have reason for some optimism. But again, this isn't saying that we've got to do it one way or another. It's simply to observe that bipartisan groups that have looked at this question have taken a balanced approach. And so I'm very hopeful that our colleagues will approach this challenge in that same spirit, saying we're going to take a balanced approach, meaning we've got to do some additional tough cutting, but we also need to deal with the revenue side of the equation, and that the most effective thing we can do in the near term to reduce the deficit is to get the economy moving again and focus on jobs. The bipartisan commissions that looked at this both said it would be a big mistake to do anything to hurt the fragile economy, and more importantly, we should be doing things to help.
How transparent will this process be on the committee? Can we watch? I mean, how open is this going to be?
I think it's going to be very transparent. I think the co-chairs will probably be making recommendations to members of the committee about exactly how the committee proceeds, but I'm confident that we're going to have some public hearings, and I'm confident that there will be a lot of transparency.
And do you know yet when you'll start meeting, officially meeting?
I don't think there's any official date yet. Again, these are conversations that are ongoing between the co-chairs, who are then consulting with their other members.